We welcome you to our service this morning, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on us as we meet around his word. Our pastor has had close contact with somebody who tested positive, and as a result, he is isolating and will be joining us by Zoom for the message this morning. He's asked me to lead the service, and we'll pray for our pastor. Both and his wife have both tested negative, but they're following the requirements of isolation. Let us turn in our hymn books to hymn number 496. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. It's 495. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. We'll stand and sing this hymn to God's praise. Hymn number 495, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let us ask for God's blessing on us as we meet together in his house on his holy day to worship his great name. O Lord our God, we bow before thee, thou who art infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, the only wise God, the one who art from everlasting to everlasting, before whom the angels veil their faces as they cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. We acknowledge our dependence upon thee. We give thee thanks and praise that we're able to meet together in thy house on this thy holy day, and that we're not left in heathen darkness or to the ignorance of foolish men who know not God, but that we have the light of life before us, and we have thy precious word in our hands. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not left us to ourselves, but that thou hast given us thy light and thy truth. May the light lead us and guide us as we walk through this waste, howling wilderness. We pray, Lord, for thy special blessing to be with each one of us gathered in. Thou knowest our need. Thou art the God that art acquaint with all our ways. We cast ourselves afresh on thy mercy. We pray for thy blessing to be with our pastor this morning. We pray that it be with him and his wife as they isolate. We pray that thou wouldst undertake for them, and that thou wouldst overrule in all things for the honor and glory of thy great name. We also remember those who are sick and suffering in our congregation. We remember our brother Ron this morning. We also pray for our sister Serene. We remember our sister Joan. And we remember Dr. McClelland. We pray for thy blessing to be with each one of them in their time of need. We pray especially for our brother at Dunbar as he awaits a transplant at this time. We pray that thou wouldst be with him and Pam. We pray that thou wouldst undertake and help us to appreciate the frailty of our own lives. Lord, our breath is in thy hand, and we cast ourselves afresh on thy care and keeping. We pray for thy blessing to be with us as we sing thy praise and read thy word. We pray that thou wouldst mix thy word with faith in our hearts, that we would be found among those who live for thee and not for ourselves. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let us now turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, selection A, we'll sing verses 1 to 3 and then 8 and 9. We'll stand to sing. Seated. Let us turn in God's word this morning to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 in the chapter. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May God bless to us this portion from his holy and infallible word to our never dying souls. At this time, I'm going to pass the meeting over to our pastor, and he will join us by Zoom.
Thank you, Brother James, for leading the service this morning. And what a blessed portion of scripture that is in Psalm 16. It actually contains a favorite verse of mine, verse 11. And I trust that it will be a blessing to every one of you as you have listened today. These are unusual times for all of us. And this is not the way I intended to start off the year. In our pulpit, and bringing you the motto text for the year is certainly not something that I thought we would be doing by this technology. But under the certain times where, well, it just seems we don't know when and where any one of us will be coming in contact with someone who either has or does have COVID, and these are the trying times that all of us live in at this moment. And so we wanted to be a little extra careful today in coming to the service, and that's why we decided to do this via the Zoom technology and over sermon audio. And I want to say a word of thanks to Brother Jonathan, because it was late last night that I called him and said we have an issue for tomorrow, and so he came up to the church right away and got everything sorted out, and we're very thankful that it is working today. And I trust and pray that this will not be a distraction at all to anyone, but we will settle ourselves and be able to come to the word of the Lord today and be refreshed by it. Let me say to begin with a word of warm welcome to all of you in the service. And if you're watching online, certainly want to welcome you all and wish you a very blessed and a godly new year for 2022. I want to thank you all for your prayers. Certainly while we were away for a little break over the Christmas holidays, we knew the Lord's presence and were thankful for that, and also really appreciate the ministry of Reverend Ian Gallagher, who was in the pulpit for 3 weeks for us here in Toronto. And I was able to tune into most of the services and was thoroughly blessed by the Word of God and by the Lord's servant faithfully giving out the scriptures. And also much appreciation to the men who were leading the services as well. And of course, our Brother Fraser, who stepped in at the last moment to take the service today, very much appreciated. Want to extend condolences to Mrs. Tina DiDerno today. She lost her mom just yesterday, and her mom had been battling illness for some time. And we just want to pray for Pina and for the DiDerno family. They actually also themselves are recovering from COVID. And so Brother Gallagher is preaching in Barrie this morning. But I know they would very much appreciate your prayers. And also please be in prayer for our school ministry. As you know, schools have been put to online learning. And we don't know just exactly how that will go, how long that will be. But that's been an extra tough struggle for administration in the school and for all of our teachers and for the students. And do please be in prayer for all of them, and that the Lord would bring this to a conclusion very, very quickly. To remember all of our shut-ins and those that we are praying for regularly. Brother James mentioned several of them in his prayer, and I was able to say an amen to all of those, as you were too. And also Brother Ed Dunbar, got an email from him just this morning saying that they are settled in Durham near Duke University, where he is making final preparations for the lung replacement. As soon as there's a match found, I believe that they'll be the next step for him. And he's greatly encouraged in the Lord. But in the email, he put down these words. He says, "We have not been this way heretofore." And that's the same word that Joshua gave to the Israelites as they were ready to go into the land of Canaan. And that's certainly that an issue we all face at some time or another in our life. So please keep our brother Ed Dunbar in your prayers. Let me also give you a few announcements for today of ministry and some things that you can catch up on. If you've been following our adult Bible class on the Lord's Day morning, I've been doing a study on the book of Hosea, and we have those audio and study notes now available. And if you would like to get those, you could contact Brother Jonathan and he would email you a link to them, or you can send an email to me and I'll be able to help you there. And I would encourage you to make every effort to be out to the Sunday school and our Bible classes. Our brother Fraser is just commenced today a study on the book in the book of Joel, and I would recommend that to you, and be there as often as you can be for the word of the Lord. We will be meeting for our Bible study and prayer time this Wednesday at 7:30, and do please keep those things before the Lord in your prayers. Next Lord's Day, our service is at the regular time, though I'm not so sure how regular it will be. If it has to be over Zoom, or if some other minister might have to step in, we're not sure. But we will keep going forward in the Lord's will. On a sadder note, you have been following the news, perhaps, and we've mentioned it before, that recently there was a law passed in Canada that came into effect on the 7th of January. And it was a ban on something called conversion therapy. And I want to speak, Lord willing, next Lord's Day morning on the subject of the biblical teaching as it relates to this subject of conversion therapy and all that that means. So appreciate your prayers for that, and that the Lord would give us much help as we take our stand for the Lord in these times in which we're living. We were supposed to have communion today, but under these circumstances, we've decided to postpone that to the first Lord's Day of February in the will of the Lord. Some advanced things to think about: our session and board meeting on January the 20th, and as the elders and deacons begin the year, it will be a time devoted to prayer. Prayer for the ministries that we're involved in, prayer for our church, prayer for all the members of our church, and asking for you to come along with us in supporting on that day. It's a Thursday night, as the elders and deacons will be meeting for that special time. And then we're looking ahead, as we always begin our year, with a week of prayer, Monday to Friday. That will be January 24th to the 28th. And in the middle of that time, we will be having a baptismal service, and two folks have come forward requesting to be baptized. And today is the cutoff, actually, that if you have been burdened about being baptized, let one of the elders know by the end of the services today, and then they'll be able to contact me, or you could email me directly. And today is the cutoff as far as those who would desire to be baptized this coming January 26th. I think those pretty well cover the messages or the announcements and preliminary comments I want to make. And I would ask you to turn now, please, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read the first 10 verses of Proverbs 3, and follow along, please, with me carefully as we look at this portion. Thank you. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. May God bless his word to us. We'll bow now, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, we are so thankful today for the blessing of the house of God and the place of worship. And again, Lord, for the technology that enables us to be a part of the worship of thy holy and great name. I pray, Lord, that as we have been singing and praising today, listening to the scriptures, and thinking about all the wonderful mercies we have received from your gracious and kind hand. And Lord, again, we pray for your rich blessing to be upon those who are in great physical need, and all of us who have our spiritual needs, that, dear God, we would know your hand of blessing on us. Keep us free, we pray, from the ravages of sickness and disease. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to overcome in all of the issues of COVID and of other diseases that affect people, and that, Lord, we might be able to rejoice. And yet, Lord, we also understand that in your great providence and purpose, these things come along our pathway, and they come into our lives. And I pray that double portions of grace and of strength would be given to every believer, so that, Lord, that we'd be able to say, as the Apostle Paul did, when I am weak, then am I strong. Make us strong, Lord, for your work and glory and service. Hear this prayer today. Bless Pina DiDerno, I ask. Watch over their family. The loss of a mother, father, very, very difficult. And I pray, Lord, that you would comfort the heart of our sister and bless her and be with their whole family as they are getting back on track after their bout of illness. Hear our prayer today. Bless the scriptures to our hearts. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Help me to speak as the Lord's messenger in the message of God. I pray these things today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As I sought the Lord for the direction of the Word of God for the motto text for this year, the Holy Spirit led me to the book of Proverbs and the third chapter, and to a very familiar portion of that. And I want to zero in on verse 6 today. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. At the end of the service today, when you leave, there will be some fine-looking gentlemen who will be passing out to you a couple of reminders, a pad of paper with a pen, and also a magnet for your fridge or filing cabinet with our motto text on it for this year. And I would encourage you to make use of that. And I pray that it will be a reminder, a simple reminder of this timeless truth, enabling us all to navigate through uncertain pathways and keeping us all on course in our quest to glorify God on our earthly journey. That's our desire. That's what we want to do. You know, navigating your way between two points has become so easy today that many of us may take our technology for granted. You think of the GPS, the global positioning system, and how useful it is for all finding our way in sometimes uncertain places. As one person put it, it used to be that your mapping and GPS and fish finder were all in one place, and his name was Grandpa. Well, that may have been true then, but today we're all dependent, it seems, more and more on devices that we can hardly find our way home from church without them. But you know, relying on a GPS too heavily is not maybe always a good idea. A few years ago, a 23-year-old woman, it just happened to be a woman, I'm not making this up, she drove straight into the frigid waters of Lake Huron. It was a dark and a stormy night in Tobermory. Visibility was low, and she missed a right turn and drove down a boat launch leading into Georgian Bay. Now, the car's momentum carried it out past the shore, and this red Toyota Yaris, it sunk below the surface. Now, luckily, this fast-thinking lady lowered her window before the car's power was cut off, and she had to swim 100 feet back to the shore to her safety. But this was not just as far off as what happened to Christopher Columbus in 1492. Well, the hazards of sea travel during his time were more acute, and Columbus's journal reveals that he did not know how to calculate latitude properly, and like all sailors of his time, they were unable to calculate longitude at all. So when he encountered the Americas, he actually thought he had reached India, which explains the name of the Indies, and Indians are still attached to the lands that he found in the Caribbean. But tragically, all stories do not end so well. For those that have been lost in wintry forests or in dense jungles, and they have perished before their rescuers could come. How vital it is, my dear friends, to know your bearings, to know where you have come from and where you are going to. If this is true in our physical travel, how much more in our spiritual journey, which is of inestimably greater importance. For someone without a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, there is nothing of greater importance than to repent of your sin and to receive the Son of God by faith into your life. My friend, He will forgive your sin. He will give you a new nature. He will take you home to heaven when you die. You ended this year without Christ. How will you start this new year? But the force of Proverbs 3 and verse 6 is directed to Christians, to believers, to those who have already accepted Christ as their Savior. And I want to apply this truth to us today. And I pray that God will direct us in our ways in the center of his perfect will. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. My friends, in the first place today, this verse of scripture speaks about total reliance. Total reliance on God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. It's very difficult to consider these words without fixing the context of verse 5 and the rather compelling command that God has given to us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. This is the foundation of someone who is going to totally rely on the Lord, or of total dependence, of committing our ways under divine control. We are called and commanded to trust in the Lord. Can you think, my dear friends, of a more gracious command? Something that is of a greater and more blessed privilege than to be told to trust in the eternal and all-knowing and all-powerful Creator of heaven and earth, the one who has made all things out of nothing, and who has redeemed us by his unfathomable grace. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Believer, you have put your trust in the Lord for salvation. Can we place our total reliance and trust in him for our everyday steps and the journey through our life? When we're called to trust in the Lord, it means to have confidence in him. It means to rest in the Lord with security and safety, having a kind of carelessness, casting all upon him, given over entirely to the Lord with all our hearts. We cannot be given over to God if we do not trust with all our hearts. To trust in the Lord with half our hearts is really to say to the experienced pilot of the airplane, let me get into that cockpit and take over those controls. I can handle this. Let me land this big bird. I can do it on my own through the storm. It would be the height of foolishness. And yet, believers, sometimes we're guilty of trying to take hold of the controls of our own lives and do this ourselves. But the Lord is admonishing us here today, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Why should we trust in God? Well, we should trust in the Lord because he is worthy of our trust, because he is full of grace, but because he is able. He is able to be trusted in. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. But in this, you know, there is a warning sign. Because we're told to lean not, in verse 5, unto our own understanding. Because human understanding is insufficient. Because we ourselves are inherently weak. We have very limited experience. But you know the real reason? Because of our deceived and sinful hearts. The question is not whether we should use our own reason, but it's to what extent and how will we rely on that? God has given us the powers of reasoning. He has given us brains to think and to examine and to calculate. But we must beware of our reasoning powers, because they have been corrupted by sin and our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Matthew Henry said, those who know themselves find their own understanding a broken reed, which if they lean upon, will fail. Lean not unto your own understanding. It's another way of saying, my dear friends, lean upon Christ. Lean upon the Lord. When you can't make sense out of your direction, when trial seems so harsh and unending, when it appears that your very life is in the balance, listen to what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's a paradox. To the unbeliever, that the Savior would say to his disciples, without me you can do nothing. And someone would say, what do you mean without the Lord I can do nothing? I can get up, I can walk, I can move, I can speak, I can think. But can we? Friends, if it was not for the power of Christ, the creator and sustainer of all life, we would not have any movement or ability to think or reason or live. And so much more so, as God's children, we take the weight of that statement, of what Jesus said to his disciples, without me ye can do nothing. And we come to the Lord, and we want to do his will. We want to do his work. We want to serve him. But without the power of God, without the Savior working through us, we are powerless. We are unable. And so this total reliance that Proverbs 3 and verse 6 speaks about, it is acknowledging God in all our ways. But you might be asking this question, what does it mean, really, to acknowledge God? How does this work out in my everyday life? One commentator put it this way. He said, to acknowledge God is neither more nor less than to acknowledge the principles of truth and righteousness in all our ways. It is not to talk about religion, but to act on it in the life. Another man who was a commentator in the book of Proverbs, his name was Otto Zöckler, a Protestant theologian. He said this, recognize him, God, as the unconditional controller over all thy willing and doing, over all your will and all your actions. And friends, if we acknowledge God in this way, we will be setting him in the forefront of this year. We'll be putting the Lord in the right place, believer, in our lives. Because when we fail to consider the Lord in our everyday activity, it's not just unwise, but it's patently foolish and arrogant. Because to acknowledge God is to bring every decision before him, to take every step and seek his mind. The Lord wants to be consulted by us. As a matter of fact, he loves when we consult him. He delights when his children depend on him for their next step, their next bite, their next purchase. How dare we conduct ourselves, even in the ordinary events of our lives, without the counsel of God? My friend, the psalmist said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. John Owen had this to say, the great folly of man in trials is leaning to or upon his own understanding and counsels. What is the issue of it? Whenever in our trials, he said, we consult our own understandings, hearken to self-reasonings, though they seem to be good and tending to our preservation, yet the principle of living by faith is stifled, and we shall, in the issue, be cast down by our own counsels. wise words from Dr. John Owen. Another man said, Charles Bridges, a Puritan, he said, be in the habit of going to him in the first place, before self-will, self-pleasing, self-wisdom, human friends, convenience, and expediency, before any of these have been consulted, go to God at once. That's great advice. And we are to go to the Lord at once for our direction, because God is the master and sole authority for the Christian in life. He is our counselor. He is our strength in all our actions by seeking his blessing. Are we willing to give up our own ways in order to follow him? There's a quote by Henry Martin, may come up on the screen in front of you just now, but if not, listen carefully to it. Lord, let me have no will of my own, or consider my true happiness as depending in the smallest degree on anything that can befall me outwardly, but as consisting altogether in conformity to thy will. It's a prayer, and it would be a good prayer for us all to bring before the Lord. Let me not have my own will. I pray that God would help us to put that into practice in our ensuing days and months and whatever time he gives us. Now, if Proverbs 3 verse 6 had said this, consider the Lord in the challenging, difficult, or dangerous paths of our life, it would be more suitable to our thinking, to our shallow thinking, that is, and our proud heart. For we think too often that we can handle the easy stuff ourselves. We don't have to be too worried about that. Was that not the very issue that afflicted Joshua and the children of Israel after they had defeated Jericho? They had a great victory from God there, you know. But then they came to the smaller town of Ai, some say Ai, and they were defeated at that place because they thought they could handle the small stuff themselves. But they couldn't do that. And the compounded problem of sin in the camp made it all the more impossible. What are we most likely to rely on apart from God? We are likely to rely on our weekly food or our daily food, supplying things for ourselves, be it food or clothing. We get into such a habit of just going to the store, buying our food, getting our clothing, getting what we have need of. And there's a tendency of that leading to self-sufficiency. And we can also be bolstered up by our family or by our friends or by our own abilities. And we can also be falsely supported by past victories. In other words, oh, well, I've been able to do this in the past. Why can't I just keep doing it in the future? And we just go on kind of autopilot. But dear brothers and sisters, that's not a wise way, certainly not a spiritual way that we are to approach our life and this year in front of us and what the Lord has done on our account. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In your ways of happiness and success and joy, acknowledge the Lord and thank him. What about in your ways of sorrow, of disappointment, and of sickness? Can you acknowledge God in that way? What about ways of discipline when the Lord brings a hand of correction on us Are we able to say, yes, Lord, I see your hand. I know your way, and it's for my good, and ultimately for your glory. But the ways of discipline are sometimes hard. Why? Because we have been stubborn, or we have been willful, or we have been self-centered. Could have been any number of reasons. We've gone our own direction. But let's acknowledge the Lord in the ways of our praise for his love, our thanksgiving, our worship, by a godly and a reverent fear. Another commentator by the name of Zeltner, he said this: where true fear of God exists, there is also true humility of soul and renunciation of self. A renunciation of self, yeah, that's important. And the more we learn what that means, it will be a true humility of soul. And it's going to be evident then that's where the true fear of God, the true acknowledging of the Lord is. Our reliance upon the Lord, it's founded and accompanied with prayer, with devotion, with our worship, with our study of the Word. Oh, I do hope you're into your scriptures this year. I do hope you're following a course of regular, consistent Bible reading. Let me recommend to you at this moment the daily reading, Bible reading booklets that we have. I know they were given out to you the last Lord's Day of 2021, and I'm very thankful for them, and I hope that they will be a blessing to you. And if you haven't picked up one of yours yet, be sure you get it today. And you say, well, I'm already behind by a little bit. Well, you can work on catching up, or just start exactly on the day where you have and commit yourself to read God's Word every day. I was talking to one lady this week, and she said, well, I just had to go ahead. And so not only has she passed by the daily readings, but she's up into 2 Kings now, and maybe even farther than that in reading the scripture. Time is there on her side at this moment, and she's using diligent search of the scriptures. And I encourage us all to use our moments, use our days, use the time we have, commit ourselves to it, of seeking the Lord with all our heart, because, believer, in so doing, we will be acknowledging, recognizing, considering, depending on the Lord for all our ways. And that is where the rubber meets the road of our Christian experience. I want you to notice in the second place this morning, and it is my final point, and I'll be brief on this. But I want you to think about this, the promise of divine guidance. The promise of divine guidance. What does the Lord say here in the second part of verse 6? He shall direct thy paths. We have in this verse of Scripture a cause-effect relation. The cause, when we acknowledge God, and the effect, he will guide us in our life's journey. And it's a promise, believer. And when God makes to you a promise, don't just pass by it lightly. As a matter of fact, I would challenge you in your Bible reading to be careful to mark in your word, in your scriptures, every time God gives a promise in his word. And I know that there are specific promises in the Bible that relate to sometimes an individual or maybe national Israel. There are specific promises that are related to that time period, but there is most definitely application that we can draw from the truth contained in those promises. And the Lord has given us so many of them that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, that he will divinely guide our pathway. And this is the promise contained in this verse of Scripture today. Today, to those who wholly trust in God and are not leaning to their own understanding, but are ready in all things to obey his will and word, the Lord is a perpetual guide. And sometimes you might think, well, that's not really possible for me to do that in every step of life, is it? I have stumbled and fell many times. And does that mean the Lord will not be my guidance divinely? Oh, friend, this is the Lord's word. It's his promise. And as we take him at his word, we can depend on him. And he knows our weakness. He knows our frame. He knows we're made of dust. He knows the many times we would stumble and fall. But that does not mean we should not take God at his word. And as we endeavor to acknowledge him, as we are purposing in our hearts, it's our will, it's our determination before him, the Lord sees and knows the will of our hearts, and he will take the will for the deed. He'll take the will as if it was accomplished because he knows our hearts. You know, before modern navigation instruments, and we were talking about the GPS and so on, where boats are using radar and sonar today to give themselves the direction that they need. Mariners in earlier days, they leaned heavily upon the sun by day and upon the North Star, or as it's called, the Polar Star at nighttime, to navigate the ocean. It was their anchor point to keep them on course because of the consistency of the northern star, of the polar star in the solar system. And because of its consistency, they could always tell where they were in relation to their positioning by the North Star, by the sun by day. And my dear friends, there is a great lesson there for us. In our lives, let us keep our eyes upon the sun of righteousness. Let us keep our faith firmly fixed upon the Son of God, to be looking to him, to be watching him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, and we are called to look to him. He is our polar star. He is the North Star. Our Lord doesn't move in his purposes, in his decrees. He is always the same. I am the Lord, he said, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you and I have our Savior, the Word of God, the unsearchable, inerrant Word of the living God, the written revelation. We have his Word as our direction. And by the Spirit's leading, we can depend upon him. We can know him and we can follow him. And as we are reading and seeking the will of the Lord through his holy scriptures, depending on him to guide us throughout our life, we can rely on him. And we can rely on the overruling providences of God. It's one of the sweetest of all thoughts. Because, believer, it brings comfort. It brings to my heart stability. It gives to me peace. The faithful Christian is one who trusts the God of providence implicitly, one who fully and truly loves Christ and feels himself utterly dependent upon him. Friend, is that where you are today? In conclusion, then, this morning, I would say to us all, let us seek to know the will of God for our lives. And once we have been committed to Him, be prepared for anything that God will send to us. Let us be content with knowing only one step at a time. Don't think that you're going to have the privilege of having your whole life mapped out before you. That will not happen. The Lord wants us to walk step by step, trusting in Him, because we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we can just be at peace and rest in our heart without worry, without concern, knowing, Lord, You are the one in charge. And friend, if we sin and do something contrary to the Lord's will or His word, let us come back to Him with great speed. Let us come back to Him in repentance urgently, for He will not turn us away. He will not discard us. Let us recognize the overruling hand of God's providence in the, what I'll say, are the unavoidable circumstances of life. We didn't plan them. We certainly had no way of avoiding them. At times they happen to us, and we have to say, Lord, I rest that You have allowed this providence in my life, and therefore I will commit all to the Lord. That's what it means to acknowledge Him. I'll commit my way, and I'll submit myself. I will say, Lord, yes, Your will is the best thing for my life, and I accept it willingly, not reluctantly, not just dutifully, but I accept it with all my heart. And we will give preeminence to Christ in all things. There is a hymn in our old hymn book by a man called Albert Midland. Let me read the words to you today. Ever to the Savior cling. Trust in Him and none beside. Never let an earthly thing hide thee from the crucified. Ever cast on Him thy care. He invites thee so to do. Never let thy soul despair. He will surely help you through. As we bring our service to a close today, we want to sing a hymn, number 518, and it's a well-known one, but certainly fitting for our time, I Will Guide Thee. I invite you to stand as we sing. Let's close, please, in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we commit ourselves and would come at this new year to a point of rededication, of giving ourselves, Father, afresh into your kind and gracious and all-loving providential hand. Teach us, we pray, Lord, to walk by faith. Teach us, we ask, O God, to acknowledge in all our ways our loving and merciful God in heaven. Lord, we pray that this will be a year of great spiritual growth. I pray it will be a year where we have the joy of leading sinners to Christ. And to this end, Father, make each one of us soul winners for Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer today. Draw very, very near to us. Encourage every heart. Bless every family. We pray there will not be a family in our fellowship left out of blessing and advance and growth spiritually. Give us, we pray, household salvation. Hear this, our prayer today, and bless us now. We ask in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen. Thank you all, folks, for your attention today, and we encourage you to come back again for the evening service tonight, as I have a message for you from the Word of God again, which I trust will be an encouragement and a challenge to you. May the Lord be with you and bless you on this Lord's Day.